Shalom.
It's a beautiful morning. It is fresh.
I like this weather.
Okay, let us read the word of God from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 12 to 17. Esther, chapter 4, 12 to 17. I read in the name of Jesus. Hathach gave Esther a message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you are in the palace, you will escape then when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or days. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. This is God's word. Let us pray. Cleanse our lips that we may articulate your words as you have entrusted it to us. We pray for the hearts of all those who will listen to us and to this word, that the word transform each one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is the month of the mission, as you heard it from somebody, from Mohindo. And we will focus on this theme, but because we want to focus on the Christian's testimony or witness. The topic we will focus on comes from this book, and it is entitled as this: Ladies and gentlemen, as good Christians, the salvation of the church and of the nation is our concern. The salvation of the church and of the nations is our concern. That is the key words on which we are going to reflect. Although we read in a book which bear the name of Esther, the message will not be for women. It is for all of us, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, children, girls and boys. This is the message we are going to reflect on this morning. This story of Esther is very interesting, and to know how we can carry out the salvation of the nations and to the church, we will learn from this story of Esther. We've been reading this since the beginning of this March. I don't know whether others participated to such sermons, but only to remind you that Esther was a queen of the king of Persia. The name of the king was, it's hard to pronounce because it is Hebrew, Xerxes. En français, c'est Xerxes. It's complicated. You can read it in this book. So the king of Persia has chosen Esther as the queen. And Esther was originally a Jew. But Persia was not a Jewish kingdom. But when the king has chosen Esther as a queen. He didn't know even that, they didn't know that Esther was a Jew. And Esther hid her, which we can understand later when the story comes to the end. And Esther, she was in the kingdom without being noticed that she was a Jew. And there were some Jews also spread in that kingdom, but one day, I will shorten the story. One day, Haman, the prime minister of the kingdom, he made sign a decree on the name of the king that all the Jews, all the people in that kingdom, in the Persian kingdom, should slaughter all the Jews so that in the kingdom there will be no Jews anymore. When Mordecai, who was the uncle of Esther, heard about it, he was so worried, he was sad, he torn all his clothes and he put on sackcloth. He went to sit in front of the palace, a place which it is uncommon to sit in that place. When the maids of Esther told Esther that your uncle is wearing torn clothes, sitting in that uncommon place, Esther was so worried, she just sent the clothes that her uncle could wear good clothes. He refused because the uncle was so worried for all the Jews who will be killed, genocide against the Jews in that kingdom. So he told the maid, Esther's maid, go tell her that I read the decree, I heard about the decree, I already saw and I knew the amount of money which was paid to make sign that decree that all the Jews should be killed one day by the nations, the citizens of that kingdom. So Esther said, what can I do? The uncle said, don't mind Esther, if you don't do anything, if you keep silent, the salvation of these Jews might come from somewhere and you will not be spared as well. They will slaughter all the Jews and you will not be spared with your family. Esther just listened to the uncle. She knew that this is a danger. She knew that all her people will die, including herself. She will not be spared. So she used the wisdom. How can I go and tell to my husband, the king? Although she was a Jew, but she had a pagan ruler, a pagan husband, an authority. She respected also the authority of her husband, the king. She searched for a strategy to inform the king about this. She invited her husband with Haman, who organized the killings of the genocide of Jews. She invited him for a dinner, both of them. Probably her uncle was there too. And then she was, after sharing the meal with them and the banquet with them, she just said, I am sad because, now I'm amplifying the story, as a woman can talk to her husband. And I am sad because the decree came out that all the Jews should be slaughtered. The king said, how come? Who can do this? The second day, she finally said, this is Haman who planned for the genocide of all the Jews in this kingdom. The king said, I don't think that such a thing could happen in this kingdom, because he loved also Esther. But let us note beforehand that to go and even to request for an invitation from the king. Esther, those days, she was not allowed to see the king. And in that, the king had the law that whoever will come to this place, if he is not called upon by myself, then that person will be killed. Esther took that risk. It was not the day she was supposed to see the king. So she came slowly, and she requested for audience, but it was risky because she was not allowed to enter that time, but she did. And after the king heard her plead for the Jews, then the king said, he changed the decision. He didn't change the decree, but he made invite Haman, who organized the genocide of the Jews, and then he decided that all what he has planned for Mordecai, because he was to kill also Mordecai, he said all what he has planned to do for Mordecai, he will be the one to be at the stake. So instead of hanging Mordecai, Haman was the one to be hanged. And then instead of changing the decree, the king said, he signed another decree saying that day which was planned for the Jews' genocide, he signed a decree that the Jews should also kill whoever will try to kill him or the Jew. The situation changed. Haman, who planned, died, and the Jews now killed all the citizens who tried to kill them, and the situation changed. It changed because of Esther. The focus is not that whole story, but the focus is on what Esther and the scene behind that, what Esther has tried to do, and it changed the situation. Because we are pursuing our theme, which says the salvation of the church, the salvation is in our hands. If we don't do, then God can do something and the salvation will come without us. This is the key issues. As Christians, because now I want us to focus on what we are living here. The first thing Mordecai did was that he got the right information. To save the Jews from this doom, he took seriously the information he received. And he saw it, and he had proof about it, so it was a concern. Some people among us, when you hear a story, such a crisis, sometimes you cannot change the situation if you don't take seriously what you hear about. Every day we are hearing that genocide in Beni, genocide in here. Me, I call it genocide because, for example, in Beni, only one tribe is being killed all the time, systematically. And if you look at the number, it is really genocide. More than 10,000 people have died there. Statistics can inform us well, but it's many people who have been killed. And again, against one tribe. But sometimes we don't take this issue seriously, as Mordecai took this seriously. We hear about stories of M2023. Some people do not even believe it. If you don't believe, you won't change anything. We hear people, no, this is a political issue. The first thing Mordecai did was to take it seriously, to accept that there is a crisis. The second thing which Mordecai did, he didn't bear it alone, but he tried to choose somebody who was in the good position to bring a change. And this is Esther. Because he knew that Esther is near the king. If she plead for the Jews, they can change the situation. And it did. It happened. Esther also was informed. Mordecai rose the awareness of the queen. She also took it seriously. The third thing I notice here, these are the clues I want to focus on so that we know how we can bring the salvation to our nations. I will also take the side of the church. The third thing is that she took it seriously, and then her awareness is sharpened, so she also, using her wisdom, know that God can do something. If ever she's not allowed to enter the king's palace those days, she knew that God can do something. Before she starts moving on, she acknowledged that God is capable of changing this situation. She was sure. This is the reason why she told her uncle, although it is difficult, but let us fast first. Let us recommend this issue to the Lord. Let us prepare ourselves so that we can address this issue. She asked for fasting. She fasted, and all the Jews fasted as well. God can change the situation if we trust in him. And this is the third thing she did. The fourth thing, she dared going to the place she was not allowed to enter those days, asking for the authorization of the king to talk to her. She was allowed because God already opened the way for her. She was allowed to enter, but in taking this step, she took the risk. It was some kind of sacrifice because the emotion sent her. She will not be pleased to see all the Jews dying. She took the risk. I'd rather die, and my people will be saved. I'd rather die. She took the risk. It's a sacrifice. Among us, who can do this? She used her position to try to be involved, to try to involve herself in the situation and trying to change the situation in the favor of this Jew. Telling you the truth, it's not easy because she risks her life. Most of the time, when we are in a good position, we don't bear the problems of others. We are comfortable. We don't move on because the tendency is that I'm okay. These people are exaggerating as well. This is an exaggeration. If you neglect like this, you keep silent, the situation will not change. And yet it is our responsibility. We have been called to change, to work with God to change the situation. Esther, after fasting, she noticed that God's will is not that all the Jews should perish like that. God's will is to redeem, is to spare, is to save his people. So she went because she trusted that this is God's will. And she tried, if ever I lose my life, no problem, as long as I'm in aligning to God's word, God's will, I will go. She did, and God changed the situation. Who else, when you are in a higher position like that, you can mind again the suffering of lower people? Who? We are Christian to hear. Even you, if they appoint you as prime minister in this country, considering all the situation we are facing here, I don't know whether you have the courage like such of Esther and try to say, I expose myself, I want to fight for my people. When you voice out, even those members of parliament, when they voice out, they are in danger. Most of them, they go, while they have already given even the promise that they will be advocating for our right, they just keep silent when they are there. If I voice out, they might tag me as a part of Mbetra, part of Maimai, and so on. They just keep silent. We keep on sending them messages. No, we are suffering killings here, torturing here. They just keep silent because they are already comfortable and they want to preserve their position. Esther knew that even if I lose my position, but I've been put here, that's what even Uncle Mark told. Who knows that you have been put there during this time to save the whole people of Israel? She believed in that and she did. She took the risk and she did, and things went well for the people. They were spared, the enemies were slaughtered, they died, but the people of God was spared because she believed that her position is a strategic position to help the people, to bless others, not for her personal interest, but for the interest, for the sake of the life of everybody among her nation. Another thing which I found when I was reading this text, after they have done this, people are spared, then I think the name of the Lord was glorified. Although in this book of Esther, they don't talk about God, but when she acted, it was on the name of the Lord because she thought of fasting and praying. Our theme is the salvation of the church. The Jews were in danger, political danger, social problems. But in the church, do we also have such a problem? This is the reason why the theme was also talking about the salvation of the church. Who are the church? The members of the church. What is the danger in the church? In the church, we have also dangers. Some people are in the church, they never believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is a big danger. Being in a church without trusting in the God for whom you are singing, praising, but you never trust in Him as your Savior. This is a big danger. And who can redeem this kind of people who are in the church, even outside of the church, who do not believe in Jesus Christ? It's a big danger. Being away from God, it's a big danger. Who can redeem this? The Christians. It is our concern. We cannot neglect. You see your colleague, you see your fellow Christian, so-called Christian, falling, relapsing, and living a disorderly life. And it is, sometimes the tendency is to neglect those people. Those people are not careful, they are careless. Yeah, how can they do this and they are in the church? I think it is our responsibility to help those people stand, to clear their mind, to make them understand the gospel, to hold their hands, if they fell, to hold their hands to the Lord. It is their responsibility. So if you see the danger can be spiritual danger, it can be spiritual or social danger, for which we need salvation. And the theme says that we should be concerned with this kind of danger. To wind up this one, I want to give responsibilities to each one of us. In the position you are in an NGO, in the position you are in the government, in a position you are in schools, in churches, do you sense that this is your responsibility to help and change the situation and transform a bitter situation into a good situation? We often talk about corruption in our country. And it happens everywhere. Christians, everybody can see it clearly. How good, how different are you to prevent this to happen where you are? How do you sense that this is your responsibility? Because if you keep silent, you keep silent, you keep quiet, yet it should be your responsibility. If you keep quiet, other people will do it. And I assume that when Mordecai said the salvation of Jews will come from another place, I think he was thinking of God. Although they don't speak about God here, but he was God. God will provide. God will know who can bring us the salvation. In that case, you will be also in danger if you don't participate in bringing this salvation. If we keep silent in the midst of crisis in Africa, we keep silent in the midst of crisis in Congo, if we keep silent in the midst of crisis all over the world, and yet we are there as Christians, I think we will not be spared, because God calls us to work and to prevent the worst to happen. But it is happening because we are silent. We think that it is not our concern as Christians. It is my concern. It is your concern. This is our responsibility. Let us not close our mind and shut our mouth in front of this kind of corruption, in front of destruction of nations, in front of war, in the midst of bad politics. We should not close our mouth. We have a way we can develop some strategies to prevent this to happen. It's my duty, it's your duty to think of your responsibility wherever you do and whatever, wherever you work and whatever you do, think of it so that maybe God, you can be the one whom God can send to change the situation of this country. I thank the Lord for our church, because we have a new leader who was my student. But I have hope. I have a strong hope that this is the young man that God has sent in our church to change some situation which didn't work well, and to continue with what worked well. He is there in front, and maybe they will present you again. But I'm very happy to talk about him, because he was my younger student, a young, very young student, but who becomes now in a position where God can use him. Welcome, Reverend Pastor Jonathan, but I'm not the one to welcome you, but I welcome you personally, because we will keep on praying for him, that God, we can fast for him as Esther had asked Mordecai to fast so that he can do well the work according to God's will. May the Lord bless all of us this morning.